welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
There we go. Ah, God's Jesus. Church, yeah. More or less last year this time I started a series called Coach Jesus, which was predominantly discipleship based. It was an interesting walk that we took with Jesus. We took a walk through the Gospels, and as Jesus moved, we moved with him. And I trusted the Lord that every town that he stopped in, there was something special there for us to learn. And this walk's been interesting. We've stopped in 8 towns already, judging by where I am now. And tonight we're going to enter town number 9 with him and see what he's got on his heart in this specific town to say to us at this time. Now, I dwelled off the series for a while now. At the beginning of the year, I was speaking a lot about leadership and through the life of Joshua. I was moving around quite a bit. I found myself preaching series all this time. And it's interesting. A lot of people ask me, so how do you get back to Coach Jesus? And I need to share that with you because I believe that's important for us to understand before I get going. I climbed back on Coach Jesus 2 weeks ago, and the Lord's just been saying to me that we just need to come back to the basics again. Yeah, we just need to have the basics founded in our lives once more. You know, as a year progresses, things pile on. Yeah? So it's just stop, it must be swader and swader as you're going on. And sometimes we just need to pull the plug for a moment and go back to the simple things. I believe that the gospel is simple, yet it's something that we complicate. But it's something that's really easy. Taking nothing away from the gospel of Christ is something that's really easy to understand, and it's something refreshing. Yeah, the Lord always has something new for us, no matter how many times we read scripture, there's something new. And this morning when I was preparing for this evening, to think on days of our lives. Oh, genade kerk. Huh? Ungodly. Who know? I started thinking about soapies, man. I found myself falling into the soap opera trap again. Yeah. Get home from work and you're eating your food in front of the TV, which is a sermon for an entirely different Sunday. But I'm sitting there and I'm intrigued by simple things like Days of Our Lives and Bold of Our Beautiful, 7 the Line. I'm a big Ishi Dingo fan. I can't even wait for 7 here, 7:30. And this World Cup is messing with my schedule, Mensa. I don't know. You see, that man feels me out there. He knows what I'm talking about. And, you know, this is a cliched reality of some of our American counterpart soap operas. I like to believe the South African soapies are got a little bit more juice and oomph in it, yeah? But Days of Our Lives. You know, I think I last watched that when I was at school. But yet when I sit in front of the TV this week, it feels as if I never missed a single episode. Hulle almal lyk presies dieselfde in the region of 18 years on. Arme Tyler se lippe staan so groot, maar sy is opgedol. And it's, we say this, and it's cliched, but it's so true. You can stay away from these things for long periods of time, and when you watch it again, it feels as if you watched it just yesterday. And sitting with the Word of God open in front of me, thinking of soapies, I realized that no matter how much I stay away from the Word of God, and no matter how much I read it, it changes every single time. I'm not schizophrenic, yeah? Many of you that have been around, you worry about me, but but I'm good, I'm good. Spirit-filled, I'm good. It changes every single time I read it, man, and it just, it's testimony of the Lord's heart to show us the heart of the Father, yeah? We can never fathom God. He's far too big for us. So every single time we climb into the Word to see Jesus, to understand the heart of God, something new comes out every single time over and over. I found myself reading a story that I know very well. Two very interesting ladies. Come, let's go to Luke 10. Let's read together from verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Let's pray for tonight's message before I get going. Father, we thank you for the immense privilege that we have just to climb into your word. Thank you, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us. You reveal your heart to us through your word. And tonight, Lord, I just declare over this congregation, out of your very word, that your sheep hear your voice. May tonight's message be transforming, Lord. May it open up blind eyes. May it remove scales from eyes. May it soften hardened and calloused hearts. We honor you tonight, Lord. May you do in and through us everything that's pleasing to our Father in heaven. And this we pray in your mighty name. Amen. Great stuff. Let's climb in. Martha and Mary, Eminem. Jy het gedink jy gaan rap, nee. Dit sal nooit gebeur, die mense. Ek kon sing, hè. I'm standing up here and worshiping and the Holy Spirit comes over me and I want to belt out. And then I remember, maar die mic is aan, bly maar net stil, asjeblief. Alright, no rapping today. Martha and Mary. There's something that we pick up through the Gospels is that as Jesus travels, he stops at certain towns and he teaches and he preaches. And there's a tendency for a multitude of people to come and gather around him to listen to his spoken word. Yeah? In this instance, I believe there's nothing different. Here we see Jesus coming to a town, Bethany, that is renowned as being the hometown to his good friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Jesus comes into this town to do what he normally does. And this specific occasion, Martha decides, oh, what the heck? Let's invite this traveling party into my home. Scripture says, Martha welcomed him into their home. Man, how phenomenal must that be? Jesus comes to me, Lardus Park. Here's my Lardus Park sister sitting there. We know that place is a little bit Jack Sparrow-like. You know what I'm talking about. But Jesus comes to me, Lardus Park, and I know he's coming into the town. I would do a dance to open up my house to him and his traveling party to get him there. What an honor. An esteemed man of wisdom. A man known for wisdom, good, solid teaching, a respected man. And I can understand Martha's desire to open up a house to Jesus and this traveling pastor. Well, it's a good thing. You would want to look after his needs while he's in the town. And she does that. She allows him in. Scripture now says she has a sister, Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet. Now, I've been encouraging you guys from the beginning of Coach Jesus to engage yourself in Scripture. Ons moenie Scripture lees met blinde oë nie. Right? We tend to leave words out and then we paint this picture and we make an assumption. I always say, read every single word in Scripture because it helps you understand what's really happening in the circumstance. Now, you see, just this passage of Scripture gives me a phenomenal picture of what that house looked like. Jesus traveled, he teached, he preached, and people gathered around him. He's now in Bethany. Martha invites him into the house. I can only think of one thing. Make the circle bigger. Ooh, he's got four rock. Eh? There's a tendency to people to gather around Jesus. So look at this, a traveling party. Jesus comes in. It's Jesus, he's got the 12 here. Yeah? We've got Lazarus, Martha, Mary, and I'm sure the neighbors on either side and in the front and the back, Alyssa took da because, oh my word, he's here. So the house gets a little bit full, maybe a little bit cramped. And we see a general tendency. People come in to sit at Jesus' feet to hear what he's got to say. Younger sister Mary does exactly the same. She plonks herself down. I bet he hears a foot at Jesus' feet and just sitting there, oh, excited. Eh? Can't wait to hear what Jesus is going to talk about today. That was a legitimate desire to sit at the Lord's feet, not because she's lazy. Neil might say, it snarks will do, nie. She wants to hear what the Lord has to say. So as the men normally gathers around Jesus, customary form at that time, here we have Mary, the younger sister, sitting as well. On the other hand, we have older sister Martha. Martha Stewart. Men, so here we have Martha. Martha realizes the fiasco she's just got herself into. She welcomed Christ into her home. There's a traveling party that comes with him. And scripture says that Martha's distracted with much serving. Martha now needs to look after the needs of the very situation that she created. It wasn't Mary that invited them in, it was Martha. It wasn't Lazarus, it was Martha. Eh? Martha invited them in. So Martha now needs to tend to their needs. Now, I don't want to read into scripture, and I'm not sure how many people is there. There's at least 16 people there, all right, give or take. Die biere wat gekom het of nie gekom het nie. And she needs to meet their needs. So, see where Martha's at right now. Running around like a headless chicken, trying to make sure that everything's in place. Now, I mean, come on, when you get visitors back in those days, hulle voete is pyl, nie? Hulle stap rond met of met a stukkie lap onder die voet, which they call the sandal, or they're walking bare feet, and it was good custom when they come in, you give them some water to clean their feet off. We see through history that, you know, you anoint them, you dab their forehead with a bit of oil, and you prep your guests, you get them feeling good and comfortable in the house. Now, there's about, come on, there's 13 visitors there that she needs to do this minimum for. So she's preparing everything. I'm sure they're tired from the travel, so there's a bit of food requirements that's needed, there's drink requirements that's needed. And here we have this one lady running after all of this. And scripture says she was distracted with much serving. Distracted with much serving. Yeah? You see, she got herself willfully into a very sticky position. And she needed to come through for what she brought onto herself. Jy wou dit gehad het, nou het jy dit, nou sort it out. And as she's serving and she's trying to meet everyone's needs and say, val man nou seker bietjie oor haar voete, nee? Ek het so tykie terug, I preached in Zanin. So by the way, I jump between things, you must stay with me, nee? Julle moet saam mee bly. I preached in Zanin. And at a different church, Hatfield Christian Church, a sister church or brother church or whatever, and someone in the church came to me after that service and had, oh, Tani man, it's actually the pastor, his wife, and she said to me, Pastor, you're a good storyteller. To say, well, praise the Lord. As long as you know I'm telling stories of truth, ne? That's all that you must know. I praat nie nonsense, but I'm a good storyteller. So that is the way I talk, so hang in there with me, all right? I've got a heck of an imagination that I need to share with you. Holy Spirit inspired imagination that you need to see with me. All right. We got Martha running around in the house, falling over her feet. Dinge werk nie so lekker uit nie. And she looks around and she realizes, I'm the only person doing this, but there's another lady here. Now, it was custom in that time that the lady's place was to tend to the household. All right. Sermon for another day. It was customary that the ladies tend to the hustle. But here we have Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus among the men. So as much as Martha's serving, she's slowly starting to blow a gasket. Because she's doing everything, and every time, and stumps into a pot, and then she looks behind, and there's Martha engaged in listening to what Jesus is saying. And she's getting frustrated, man. Hey, she's getting agitated, but why am I serving alone and my sister's sitting there? And this thing builds up in her and builds up in her and builds up in her to the point where she doesn't even go to Mary to address it with her. She goes straight to Jesus. Do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Kijk nou die audacity, ne? Tell her to help me. Hoeveel mense sit om Jesus? She goes to him and she says that to him, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? You tell her to help me. Jesus looks at her, oh, genade. Martha, Martha. Hey, tochie. You worried and troubled with muchness. Look at the way Jesus engages her. Looks her in the face and says to her, Martha, Martha, you are troubled and worried with so many things. You see, Jesus here addresses something far deeper than what we get when we look at the surface. Yes, Jesus is saying to her, you're worried and you're troubled with much serving. Maybe what Martha was preparing was overboard. Who knows? Maybe it was too much. Maybe she could have did less and came and sat at Jesus' feet. I honestly believe that that's not really what Jesus is talking about. Yeah? You're worried and you're troubled with much things. You see, Jesus is starting to put his finger on the state of Mary's heart. It's important to see that Jesus does not negate Martha's legitimate desire to serve. Jesus has absolutely no problem with that. But he's got a problem with the state of her heart while serving. He says to her, one thing is needed. Your sister chose that thing. And no matter what the circumstances are, I'll not take it away from her. That good part, knowing me, desiring to be close to me, desiring to be with me. You know, it's that good part that eventually will help Martha bring her heart in line. Jesus Christ, manifest presence, his glory, knowing him, knowing who he is. That's the good part. Jesus says that's what Mary desired, that's what she's gunning for, and I don't care what's going on around me. I am not going to take that from her. And this is interesting, because I read the M&M story many, many, many times. And I came to the simple assumption that what the gospel of Jesus Christ was telling me is that over-serving and not sitting at the Lord's feet is bad, and sitting at the Lord's feet and getting to know him is good. That's what I took out of that story every single time I read it. And I've preached on this before. And I've encouraged people to watch how they serve and don't lose track of Christ while you're serving. Sit by se futa because that's important. That's the good part. That's what it's all about. And there's a lot of merit to that. There's a lot of accuracy in that. But the Lord is starting to show me something a little bit deeper in this passage of Scripture that we've been overlooking. He is not addressing service. He's addressing the state of our heart while we serve. That is what the Scripture is all about. Because at no stage does Jesus say, Martha, your service is unacceptable to me. Jesus does not negate her service. He's concerned about the state of her heart while she's serving. She is serving Christ directly. Is there a greater privilege and honor in this world for us? No, there isn't. She has it. She's serving Christ in the flesh. But her attitude stinks while she's doing it. And whose fault is that? Mary's. Mary didn't invite them in. It was Martha. You see, at times we get all spiritual with Scripture, but we just need to look at it for what it is. Because you know what this is. This is real life, real people, real occurrences. This is not a fairy tale story. This is something that really happened to real people with feelings and emotions like I have and like you have. We need to see it through that set of eyes. Jesus holds something simple before. You're serving me. The state of your heart's not good while doing it. You see, she built herself up to such an extent where her heart became hardened and callous towards her sister. Her heart became hardened and callous towards Jesus and what he's doing. I mean, look at that audacity. Yeah? While he's sitting there, to go up to him and to attack him about it. For someone to do that, something needs to trigger inside of you. Jy moet nog 'n bietjie bitter wees, hè? You must be a little bit bitter to do something like that. That is what Jesus is busy looking at. You see, my original assumption of the story can't be right. It can't be right. Because Martha and Mary's life does not stop there. It goes on. Let's fast forward. John chapter 11. Guess who we see there? Eminem. Guess who's back? Martha and Mary, they're back again. John chapter 11. Lazarus is in a bit of trouble here, people. Their brother's in a little bit of trouble. Uh-oh, things are not going so well. Yes, man. Lazarus dies, yeah? Word comes to Jesus and his disciples that Lazarus is in a little bit of a state. Sermon for another day. A little bit of a state. God orchestrates circumstances in Jesus' life that he doesn't go back to Bethany immediately. Scripture says to us in John chapter 11 that by the time Jesus comes back to Bethany, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Come on, people, you don't get deader than that. Ne? I'm on a sat. He's in the tomb 4 days already. Scripture says that there's a concern that his body is starting to stink already. And yet as Jesus comes towards Bethany, just look at this. Someone comes and meets him along the way. Guess who? Martha. Yeah, Martha comes and meets him along the way. They get engaged in an interesting conversation. Sermon for another day. But it goes something down the lines of this. Jesus, if you had come earlier, I know you would have been able to do something to save my brother. That was her words. Jesus challenges her on one or two things. I want to encourage you, read that and allow the Holy Spirit to show you Martha in the light of what I'm holding before you now, because I need you to see Martha's acute, direct answers to Jesus. Martha speaks to him about the resurrection. She says that I know you will raise him back when the time has come. Something very interesting. You see, if my theory of Martha originally was that she served all the time and she didn't know Christ, if I believe that, I'm a fool when I read John 11. Because the answers she was giving Jesus speaks of someone that knows him. For a simple reason, just before they turn around and they go back to Bethany, she says to Jesus that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you have the ability to bring him back to life. No fright for you. Does that sound like someone that doesn't know Christ? That is someone that knows Jesus for who he is. There was only one other who proclaimed those words. Coach Jesus 8, Pareto Principle. I spoke on just that. Peter's ability to declare Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and to hear Jesus' response to him. Here we see Martha, bad old Martha, saying exactly the same thing to Jesus. Now I ask you, you're telling me that lady doesn't know Christ? Rubbish, she knows him. She just professed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. She knows Jesus. Through all that serving, through all that running around like a headless chicken, not ever being noted in Scripture as being the one that sat at Jesus' feet to receive from him and to grow in relationship with him, she knows Christ. Where's Mary? Any of you know where she is when this happens? She's sitting with the mourners at the foot of the stone at the tomb. Belting her eyes out for a brother that's no longer around. You see, we start to pick up a pattern in Martha's life. Let's fast forward the next chapter, John chapter 12. Before we go there, Jesus comes to Bethany and he raises Lazarus from the dead. Maybe with a peg on his nose. Open that tomb. You know what? Actually, I'm wrong. He didn't even actually go inside. He didn't even actually go inside. He must have said, Lazarus, come out. Huh? He decided, I'm not going to put myself through this. Lazarus, come out. It's a belief. Lazarus is raised from the dead and he comes out of that tomb, man. Martha knew Jesus could do it. Martha knew Jesus was good to what he says he was. In Thanksgiving, the three of them, they arrange a supper. It's about 6 days before the crucifixion. They arranged a supper for Jesus in Bethany again. Read this, people. Go and read this. I'm not lying to you. And I kan mos nie lieg nie. Ek praat nou die waarheid. It says that they arranged the supper for Jesus and his disciples. This is the word of God. Martha served. Lazarus sat at the table. Where's Mary? At the feet of Christ. You see the tendency here. Mary is a pure, hard-working servant lady. Through this whole trail of their life as we see it, the two of them together, yeah? That is the only picture I ever see of Martha, ever ready to serve. The one that comes and fetches Jesus, takes the effort to walk out of that, on that fail road, that I stuck lap on her foot and go, fetch Jesus, while a brother is lying there and people are mourning. She's the one that fetches Jesus. She's the one that engages with Jesus. She's the one that shows a faith that makes me change my entire perception of Scripture. They arrange a dinner to say thank you, and Martha served. You know what the beauty of it is? The Scripture stops there, and Martha served. Her attitude was now in the right place. Not Martha served and moaned while serving. Martha served. Now, I turn the tables to what we're normally used to. My question is Mary now the palooka? The one that just sits there and will mix, doesn't he? Diva. Biblical diva. I ask myself that question. What's going on here? Mary, do you ever sit? Do you ever walk? When we read about you, dan sit jy. But you see, at the last occurrence with Christ when they were together, she does something so profound. Yeah? She takes a pound of oil, fragrant oil, beautiful. It's a interesting interessante name. You can't get it at the body shop here, né? Just so by the way. Scripture says it costs 300 denarii. She takes that and she pours that out over the feet of Christ. She does something that was not custom for any Jewish woman to do, and which was to let down her hair. And she wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. You see, what she does there is testimony of a different type of service. An absolute selfless service, putting Christ first. Custom was to dab a bit of oil on the forehead and to wash the feet. Her 300 denarii pound of oil, she couldn't find being more fit for anything else than Jesus' feet. That she would pour it all out on his feet, let down her hair. Picture this, ladies, that long blonde locks. Taking that hair and wiping Jesus' feet with it. Yeah? You see, all we see here is two contrasting styles of service, different characteristics of individual. Martha was a typical hard-working servant heart. I will serve, and I will serve you, Christ, because there's no greater privilege than to serve Christ. She knew that. She hit the speed wobble somewhere, but she knew it. Yeah? Mary, on the other hand, served Christ in a completely different way. She was your heartfelt, devotional type of person. Let me just pour myself out at the feet of Christ. Let me show him what heart is about, what true devotion is about, what true passion to your cause is about. Both of them serve Jesus like very few. Very different, but service that was acceptable in the sight of the Lord. He never negated either forms of service. He cherished it and he endured it. When Judas challenged her on the oil, 300 denarii was a year's wages, just by the way, ne? A year's wages. So this is not cheap $12.99 perfume that she used. A year's wages is what that pound of oil costed. And Judas challenges her about it. sermon for another day, about the value and selling it and giving it to the poor. And Jesus says something so beautiful. Let her alone. She has saved this for my burial. You know, Mary understood something about Christ that very, very, very few understood. Mary knew at the depth of her heart that she was preparing Christ for what was about to come. It would be the last time she would see him, and she was preparing him. Jesus speaks it for what it is. He loved what she did. He loved what Martha did. Both of them, godly, great servants of the Lord. So now it begs the question, when that day comes, and we're upstairs, will we see both of them there? I read an interesting, not commentary, an interesting debate on would you find the sisters in heaven when we get there? Please don't try to find that debate now. That was not what's taught. Seriously. Some oak that really just needs to discover Jesus. That's all he needed. But it made me think. The forms of service, the hearts with which they serve Christ. When that day comes and we're upstairs, will the two sisters be there? Man, I can tell you, my personal belief is yes, they will be there. I can tell you one thing. You want to find Mary, she's hogging the throne. She's the one sitting at the throne at Jesus' feet all the time. There's nothing wrong with it. That's who she is. Martha, where are you going to find her? She's the one standing at the gate with a platter asking if you want chicken or beef. In reality, is both of them are there. The one's at the throne, the other one's at the pearly gates, but they're both there doing what they did best, which was serving Christ in the way they served Christ best. Absolutely, they will be there. So why am I sharing this with you tonight? Because I believe, as believers, we all have the desire to be like Mary. In reality, we tend to look a little bit more like Martha, don't we? And I ask you to take a sober look at your life tonight in the light of my very close to closing statement. We all, I need to put this on there, anders lees ek niks hierso. Ek is braaf so onder die goed hier op die trappe, ek gaan nou afval. If we're going to get serious again, I trust you guys are fetching the elements of communion, eh? Julle kan mos nie uitstap, ek is nog nie klaar nie. Jo, julle soek ons om moeilikheid. I'm in a teasing, eh? Another fetching communion. I've got a tendency to sometimes break the heaviness of the questions I ask. Now, who's been around in this church for a long time? You know, I ask heavy questions. Every time I'm up here, ek vra moeilike vrae. Kies julle is kwaad vir my. Sommige vir die hele week. I ask difficult questions. So I've got a tendency even now and again to break it with a bit of lightheartedness. I'm not disrespecting the gospel. I'm just trying to get everyone to calm down a bit. Because I've got a difficult question for you. When you take a sober look at yourself, what do you lean more towards? The Mary or the Martha? I needed to do it. I aspire to be Mary-like. Take a good look at myself. I'm more Martha. And this is why a simple passage of Scripture the Lord brings in to sort out the heart. The only reason why I'm preaching this tonight, I'm going to ask the communion ladies and gents, to line up half-half against the wall. Please don't give out the elements as yet. Because we got a few things we're going to get through tonight first before we take communion together. No, don't hand out yet. Don't hand out yet. Stand, chill against the wall. And I'm going to ask you, even though you've got the elements of communion in your hand, what I'm saying tonight, this for you, work, ne? So, relax against the wall. If it becomes heavy, put it down. I don't want you to complain about serving. I'm only teasing, eh? If it becomes a bit heavy, put it down and relax because I want you guys to think about the same thing. All right. What one of these two ladies do you lean more towards? Mary or Martha? I'm going to read something to you. I want to leave something with you. I want to leave 5 points with you tonight. I want to read it for you off my page. Because I prayed through these 5 points and this is the one time now when I'm not making jokes anymore. There's no greater privilege in this life today than laying down your life for Christ and for each other in service to the kingdom. That's my opening point. I'm going to say to you again, we have no greater privilege in this life than laying down our lives for Christ and each other in service to the kingdom. Point number two. Service to the kingdom and the extent or degree of that service is a personal choice that you make. Service to the kingdom and the degree or the extent of that service is a personal choice that you make. Choose wisely and serve God cheerfully. Choose wisely and serve God cheerfully. Neither service to the kingdom or any frustration therefrom should prevent you from knowing God or growing in relationship with Him. Service to the kingdom or any frustration that results from your service should prevent you from knowing God and growing in relationship with Him. The catchphrase here is never. Never, never, never. So when it gets sticky and the burden becomes heavy and we start asking those questions, before you make any irrational decisions out of your own, I want to encourage you, seek God's heart first. All right? I'm saying this because service gets sticky. Service becomes a burden. Service becomes hard. When you feel like that, you remember this night when I spoke about Martha and what Jesus convicted her of. Jesus did not convict her of her service to the kingdom. He convicted her of the state of her heart. I said to you that this is real people, real time, real lives. What does that mean for us? Very soon, if you have not yet been there, you're going to be in Martha's position. You are going to stand on the verge of offense. You're going to hate the people around you. You're going to hate the pastors. You're going to hate the leadership. Because I'm giving, 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 and I'm getting nothing back. Point number two was, service to the kingdom is a choice you make. Now I come back to where I am now. When it gets sticky, because it's going to get sticky, do not make irrational decisions out of your own. Seek God's heart first. There's one thing that Mary did that I loved. I joked about it, but when I thought about it later, I loved it. Because in the midst of all the people that was sitting there and her inability to approach Mary with the problem that she had, she went to Jesus. Who better to go to? If she had approached Mary directly, she would never have had her heart circumcised towards service. But she went to Christ. Christ is the provision. Christ has the ability to turn those things around. It was the answer that Jesus gave her that changed her heart in service to Him. So when things get sticky, go to God. Don't make that decision yourself. Don't go to any human individual because they are most likely going to agree with you. Christ, He might agree with you. He might not agree with you. Who would you want counsel from? when things is going hard. You want your counsel from a mere mortal, you want your counsel from the King. You seek God's heart first. Now it gets stickier. After that, be mature and sacrificial enough to take up God's agenda and to lay down yours. I say this because, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, when we burnt out, when we're angry, when we're offended, when we're upset about service to the kingdom, and people speak to me about it, there's one common denominator. You have taken up God's agenda, and you've taken up your own agenda. And now it becomes heavy. So that's why I want to say to you, be mature and sacrificial enough to put down your agenda and pick up God's agenda. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. The day we lay down our desires and take up God's desires and make that primary focus, the burden is easy, the burden is light, and He's anyway going to give you what you want. But when you go the other way and you try to carry both, who was that fool? Atlas. Yeah? Tried to carry the world. You're standing like this. It's hard. Those arms can't keep that weight up anymore. Put down what is not on God's agenda. It's the hardest thing that we need to do as believers. Codes Jesus 10 is going to be exactly about this, and I'm going to say it to you now. God is love. He says in His word that you will see no greater love than this, me laying down my life for you. So now He says the greatest commandment is you love me with your whole heart and you love your neighbor. What's He talking about? You lay down your life for me and you lay down your life for your neighbor. The greatest commandment. Then He says, there's no greater love than that. Laying down your life for me and the person sitting next to you. So as hard as it is, as much as you want this thing, the Lord says, leave it. My agenda is most important. Once you're walking around with God's agenda, He gives you the ability to carry whatever weight it is because it's God's agenda. And here's the important one. Yes, man. Alles almal belangrik, hè? This is the last one. Our service should stem from knowing Him. Our desire to know Him will not come from our service. You need to understand what I'm saying tonight. Your service to the kingdom stems from your relationship with Christ and knowing Christ. That is the center point from which we serve. If you have a desire to know Christ and to grow in knowledge of Him, service is not the option. You understand that because we get that wrong. Yeah? We got that mixed up. I want to know Jesus more, so I serve more and I do more and everything. You're not going to know more of Christ. Because service stems from Christ. We don't learn Christ through service. So that needs to turn around. And with that, five things in place tonight. Before I give my closing statement, I love the way the Lord speaks to His church universal. Let me read to you Bobby Houston's social media post from this morning. Church. Where the sacrificial spirit of volunteers, givers, and teams enable many to encounter the presence of Jesus. Now, myself and Mr. Houston, we don't roll like this, yeah? We never planned this thing back to back tonight. Church, where the sacrificial heart of volunteers, givers, and teams enables others to experience and enter into the presence of Jesus. Church, there is no greater privilege in this day than to lay down your life for Christ and for each other in service to the kingdom. I'm going to do tonight a little bit differently. I'm going to ask you all to be bold tonight. We're a small group tonight. Where's this mic? Damien, do you want to take this mic, please? See, I put my faith out there, ne? Some people's going to talk to me tonight. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to be bold. Don't look around as a belief. Please don't look who's putting up their hands now. Everyone sitting here today, out of everyone sitting here today, who was convicted by the word of God? This is not Sean's word, this is God's word. I'm just the vessel. Who was convicted by tonight's word? You know what conviction is? The Lord starts speaking to you. He starts bringing something to the light. I'm going to ask you to be bold. Put your hand up. Don't care who looks at you. That gaat nie daaroor nie. Is nie hulle probleem. It's between you and the Lord tonight. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of convicted people sitting here. Thank the Lord that I'm preaching to someone. Iemand het my gehoor. Amen. Is baie dankbaar vir dit. The Spirit said to me tonight, allow 3 people to share their conviction. Who are those 3? Who wants to share what the Lord convicted you of tonight? I'm going to ask you to be bold. Step out. Step out of your comfort zone. Yeah? This is not a comfort zone game that we play. Kingdom of God is not easy. You're going to share your conviction. Rudy, are you sharing your conviction? You are Miss Nordman. Yes. What is your surname? Yeah. As you picked up Ego van Soapies, ne? So I'm only teasing. Thank you. That's the 3 that's going to share their conviction. Come forward, Rudy. I'm going to ask you to come up. Let the people see you, please. Ne? Because at the back, it's sometimes difficult to see who's in front. How we do this, what is your name?
Edna.
Yes. Edna, how we do this, huh? This is what I do. I disciple and I encourage people. Krachtig, ne? You know what's krachtig?
No.
Okay, English. If I whip out my muscles, you know it's krachtig. I'm not teasing.
Yeah, okay.
Short and powerful, ne? You hit home. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The Lord hit home on your heart. You hit home tonight. That's what we want to know. What is the thing that the Lord in your heart?
The Lord said to me, let it go. I'll handle everything. That's all that I had.
Edna? Is it Simone or Simone?
Simone.
Simone. Edna, before you go anywhere, I'm going to ask you to stand right there. Simone, before we go on. A lot of amens. Who has exactly the same conviction as her? Show of hands. I'm going to ask you something. Keep your hands up. Can we pray for you tonight? Eh? Everyone else's hands up. Can we pray for you tonight? Can we? I'm going to ask you to respond. Come forward. All those hands that went up, be bold and come forward. Because the Lord brought the conviction, and we're going to bring that conviction before Him tonight. Are we not going to start praying it? If this is what the Lord's busy pushing through your heart, then I'm going to ask you to respond tonight. Stand up, mense. Moenie bang wees vir die mense hier nie. They ain't going to get you to heaven. Jesus is going to get you there, and He's going to do work with people tonight. So there we got it. Before Simone goes on, you know why I'm doing this tonight? Sean is just being Sean. Many of you have heard me teach on discipleship, and there's something I've been saying to this church so many times. We need to learn to hear God's voice when He speaks to us, man. Genade. Op 'n Sondag, we don't sit here for comic relief from some pastor. We sit here to hear the voice of God. Now, God speaks in diverse forms, as you can see. But God speaks. And I've been encouraging this church that when God speaks to you, hear His voice. That's why I'm doing this tonight. Because God spoke to 3 individuals. They're going to share that with you, and you're going to realize, oh, no, I'm not alone. He's saying the same thing to me. Then I'm going to say to you, respond tonight, because the Lord wants to do business. Thank you, Simone.
Good evening, church. I have to remember what I wanted to say. No, this morning, or the past like month or so, no, well, past few weeks, I've been struggling to enter into His presence and enter into God's rest and, like, you know, experience the Father heart. And I've been going through a bit of a struggle, and I think I've been pushing myself to get over it, you know. And I mean, there's a place for that, but God's also into comforting us and being, you know, the compassionate God that He is. He wants us to sit with Him, you know, and He wants to just be with Him, you know. Anyway, but the thing is that this morning God just said to me, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And I was like, yes, that's nice. And later on I realized, I realized He said it to me. It wasn't just like, you know, one of those things and you note it and that's awesome. But it was, He said to me, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And I had to, you know, kind of process it and ask Him, what do you mean? And it's so awesome that tonight's word, I realized that I am wired as a Mary. You know, intimacy with Him and sitting at His feet is my serving. That is how I lavish my affection on Him. And when I try to be a Martha, there's frustration in it. And I try to perform and strive, and my heart's not in it. But when I sit at His feet, that's where the fulfillment is, and that's where the anointing is, and that's where I experience His presence. And so I just experienced such a release tonight in knowing that I am wired as a Mary, and that's fine. God is pleased. Jesus is pleased with my heart either way, but it's a release.
Amen. Thank you. Before Rudy goes up, before you go back to your seat, Simon, can we pray with you tonight for that release? Yeah? I'm going to ask you to stand that side, right? Who hears a heart? Who understands what she's talking about? There we go. You see, this is where it gets real, church, tonight. Interactive gospel, yeah? I need you guys to see that when you sit here and the Word of God brings conviction, you're not alone. You're not the only person. Because a lot of us, we don't respond to what God wants to do because we're afraid we're going to be the only person here. Tonight, I trust that this gets embedded in this big black box, this DSTV Explorer of yours, PVR back to tonight, and know that you're never alone.
Hello, hello. So, you sort of get you cop the fact that, you know, service isn't just, or worship isn't just worship in church. But what God just convicted me on really hard now is I have hardened my heart towards serving in church. Where you, like Sean said, you start feeling this is unreasonable. And what's actually happened is that spilled over to my workplace as well, where my work, my occupation, wasn't serving God anymore. It's just like a dead work, go to job, 9 to 5, do it and get it done. And what I'm really feeling at the moment is I need to repent about that and just like submit that before God again and say, you know, everything for you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Rudy, you get the middle. Right, come on. You know what I'm going to ask now. Here we go. Church, I never do something like this for displays. Eh? I've never been an altar call driven preacher. I don't gauge the value of the word that I bring from the pulpit by the people that respond. If you respond or not, nonchalant. It's God's word, not mine. So I feel no pressure. But why are we doing this tonight? It's because this thing will eat at the heart of your church and it will destroy you. It will destroy us as a church if we didn't make peace with who we are in Christ, what He wants from us, and what we're prepared to give. Yeah? We need to make peace with that. People are going to make peace with that tonight. And I tell you, their service to the kingdom is going to be fresh, it's going to be new, it's going to be phenomenal. I want to honor everyone that responded tonight for the call on your life to have certain things sorted out again. It's going to be beautiful. New season. New things for all of you.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet.
for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.